This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
So, good morning, Cheryl. How are you doing out there in California?
Good morning. Doing great.
Excellent. So you've got this new thing that you're launching this morning called Liberation
Yes.
Distribution. So tell me who's being liberated and how you're doing it.
Good. Well, so I'll let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit about me, because it kind of leads into why LibDiv came to be. So I've been working at my family's winery in the northern central coast for over 20 years. I've been managing all the sales and marketing, but the majority of my time has been spent on managing the wholesale market and managing all of our distributors. I've worked with probably over 100 distributors since I first started working with the winery, and just over the last 10 years really noticing a lot of changes happening in the industry. You have distributor consolidation, which makes it much harder to work with the distributors when you're a small to mid-sized brand. You also have supplier consolidation, which means, you know, the large suppliers at the top of the food chain, the Constellations, the wine group, they're consistently introducing and buying new brands, which makes them that much more important to their wholesalers. So where does that leave kind of the little guys? Well, you have to spend a lot of money to be in distribution if you can even get distribution. So having kind of lived that over the last 10 years, I decided to do something about it and try and change things a little bit for everybody. So I'm launching today Liberation Distribution. It's libdiv.com. And what we are is a technology platform that enables business-to-business alcohol distribution. We're a full-fledged three-tier licensed distributor. Transactions can take place on our platform, and the maker is in charge of shipping the product either directly to the buyer or through the LibDiv licensed warehouse. And the maker actually has some options now.
So it sounds to me like that magic phrase, LibDiv licensed warehouse, it sounds like you've addressed the problem that of state statutes that require that the product come to rest inside in a warehouse inside their state, even if it's going in the front door and out the back.
That's correct. We have definitely addressed the at-rest laws. And there's certain, you know, we're starting in New York and California where, you know, in New York there are no at-rest laws, so that's something we don't have to deal with. And in California, the at-rest law applies to out-of-state spirits. So, yes, it comes to rest in our licensed warehouse, and then the last mile is taken care of by the warehouse trucking system.
Okay, so now you said spirits, which knowing that your background is wine, are you telling me that you do wine plus spirits, and do you also do beer?
Yes, we do wine, spirits, and beer in California, and we do wine and spirits right now in New York. Beer is coming later. It's a separate license that we are in the process of applying for. You have to have different premises for a beer license. It's like all these little things, but it's great. I mean, this is what compliance is all about. We are, you know, a very compliant distributor, compliant company. So, you know, knowing all these little rules and laws and building them into the platform, it's just rules. So when you tell the platform what to do, it can be compliant to all the laws.
Sure. Now, I would assume that your market is small to what, medium-sized producers?
Yes. Small to medium-sized is kind of our initial target market, but technically anybody who wants distribution can be on the platform.
So if Constellation Brands wanted to go to you, they could?
They certainly could.
Would you be able to handle them?
Yeah. I mean, our platform is built to scale in terms of the technology, and we are a technology company. We just happen to be a distributor. We can also do all of the, you know, we do all the things like the taxes and the reporting, and, yeah, we can handle anything.
I was going to ask you about taxes, because I know that the states get very concerned about anything that's outside their normal way of easily collecting taxes. So tell us how you handle that.
Well, the platform, you know, because the platform platform takes the orders, it's just whenever we have to pay the taxes, which I believe is it depends on each state. Again, each state has different reporting. You press a button, you push a report, and you pay the taxes. So, and you know, taxes are different depending on the product, depending on the alcohol level, depending on where it's coming from, and those are all rules that we can build into the platform so it can tell us how much taxes we have to pay and to who.
Now, you said you were launching in New York and California today.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me for 1 second.
Sure.
And I presume that you're launching in those two states, A, because they're big, mm-hmm. and B, because you want to make sure you've got everything working properly in those two states before you go to a third state. Am I
that,
right?
You are absolutely correct. That is exactly why we are doing that.
Okay. And what state might you go to next?
Well, we have a list of 10 that we're starting to research and work on warehouse partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big ones, obviously, Florida is top of mind. Massachusetts, Illinois. We're looking into the Pacific Northwest because we do have a good warehouse partnership there already. And Ohio is another state. And then, of course, the D.C. kind of tri-state area, which is,
right.
You know, you have Virginia, Maryland, and D.C.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds pretty reasonable. Now, your warehouse partners, are they people who are already in the alcohol beverage business, or are they warehouse operators who will take on the alcohol as needed,
So far, they're in the alcohol business already. They're either storing or, you know, for example, in New York, there's a lot of distributors that store their products and have, you know, these warehouses deliver for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to be people that are already familiar with the process and are doing it, you know, as we speak.
So one of the services that a conventional distributor provides is they go out, you know, and sell the mm-hmm. product, if you will. Are you all providing salespeople at each market, or are you
skipping that?
Is that the responsibility of the producer?
Yeah, so that is so ultimately, when, you know, someone asked me that question, I say, well, if you were to sign on with a large wholesaler right now, what kind of sales and service would you have to provide them? Because a small to mid-sized winery, they're not building brands anymore. You're kind of responsible for building your own brand and working the market, making relationships with accounts, finding corporate buyers. And so I say that, you know, just what you would do with a traditional wholesaler, you will still need to do with LibDev. You'll need to be in the market, making contact with buyers, but you'll have more control, and you won't spend a lot of time in sales meetings and having to manage sales reps. You can do it yourself. I think a number of the makers that we have on the platform are starting to look into broker situations where they just have some, you know, feet on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Or and the platform will also provide some cool tools that will help makers connect with restaurants, bars, and retailers in the markets that they're in. So they'll be able to contact them directly, see if their products are a fit for what their interests are. They will also be able to, you know, we will also have what's called a reorder reminder. Pretty simple, sounds exactly what it is, but, you know, when you ask a wholesaler rep, a lot of what they do is they go in and take reorders. So our platform will be a smart reorder reminder functionality where it'll determine the amount of time in between orders, average the time, and then shoot out an order reminder based on seasonality, based on the product, based on how long you ordered it from, and all of those things. So we also are building in, and this is Rev 2, is what we call face taste. So it's where a maker and a restaurant bar retailer can connect in advance, get samples sent out, and then have a 20-minute live conversation over the computer, over like a face taste or FaceTime situation,
mm-hmm.
Which gives, I think it gives buyers who, you know, a lot of these sommeliers and a lot of these really, you know, smart retail buyers are, they want to talk to the winemakers. They want to talk to the distillers, the people that are making these products, and find out what inspired them and what their story is and how did they make this particular product, versus just a sales rep. And these folks, you know, they have to make it. They have to be where, you know, in their distillery, or they have to be in their winery. So being able to take 20 minutes out of the day to talk to a restaurant in New York versus having to fly there and talk to a restaurant in New York, it just seems to make a lot more economical and also, you know, it's much more efficient in terms of of people's time.
Sure, I could see that. Now you got into this because your family owns a winery and because you had had trouble yourself, right?
Absolutely, yeah. My family owns a winery in the Northern Central Coast, and I've been working, you know, I've been working with, you know, 100 wholesalers over the last 20 years, and you know, some are really good and some are not. And the majority, what's happening is that I'm just putting so much effort into it myself and spending so much time on, you know, had we had our own sales reps, we would have a fourth tier marketing company. You have all of these other things. It's like, well, if you have those things, why am I spending 30% on the distributor if there's other options? And there just wasn't other options. So I'm hoping to provide people with another option.
So you
plus,
take...
I'm,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, plus anybody who wants distribution can be on the platform today. And I can't, you know, it's interesting. You do a lot of research when you start building a business plan and all of that. And I have not been able to find that number of how many brands are there out there that don't have distribution. So, like, for example, like just in the United States, there's 15,000 different brands of alcohol or different makers, licenses. And this doesn't even include international. How many of them have distribution? Well, like 60 or 70% of those makers are under 5,000 cases. So those are not the folks that are having really good, successful distribution because they just don't matter enough to the larger wholesalers. They're not enough revenue for them. So this gives them at least an opportunity to be in the market.
Which sounds like a good deal in many respects. Would this enable somebody to eliminate the need for direct-to-consumer operations, or would this be in addition to that, or how would you?
Well, this is entirely business-to-business, so this would be in, you know, this would run alongside any direct-to-consumer pushes. So mm-hmm. I would imagine, you know, kind of how I've run our winery in the past, we have our direct-to-consumer wine club tasting room side of the business, and then you have your wholesale side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have done, you know, direct-to-consumer has grown so much over the last couple of years for wine. However, for spirits, they can't ship direct-to-consumer. So if you find really cool little whiskey in Colorado and you want to buy another, you go to Colorado, you buy your two bottles, you bring it home, and then you want to buy another bottle. If they don't have distribution, you can't buy that because it can't be sent to you.
Yeah, that would be correct, wouldn't it? That would be
a
real breakthrough in some respect.
Yeah, and the craft spirits industry has grown 25% a year over the last 4 years. It's exploding. So, and the government has just recently taken away, you know, especially in California, I know, but I think they've done it in a number of states where they've taken away the bond requirement for small distillers. So that's a huge barrier to entry that's now gone. And that's great for these, you know, for people who want to just make small, cool little craft spirits. And I think that that's what people want. They want unique. They want different. You know, millennials don't have as much brand. You know, they don't have that dedication to a particular brand. They like to buy different things and try different things and show their friends that they've got new, different, unusual things.
Right. So that sounds really cool. Now, would a maker be able to say, for instance, that I don't want to go to New York yet. I want to go to mm-hmm. Rhode Island, assuming you're in Rhode Island. Would they be able to say to you, we're only selling into Rhode Island? Or
absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we, right now, we're in New York and California. People can be in just one or the other. And with upcoming releases of the software, we will be able to say, hey, I only want to be in San Francisco, or I only want to be in, you know, Los Angeles. And that's really important because especially with beer in California, that's distributed by county. And that's a, you know, the county-wide requirement. So you need to be able to assign a territory.
Sure. Now, I can see a situation where somebody starts with you and they get reasonably big and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you say that you're not going to require franchise law enforcement
nope.
or any of that stuff.
Nope.
So are you worried that at some point all your customers may disappear?
I mean, I don't think that the traditional wholesale model can handle all the potential customers
mm-hmm.
that are out there with their warehouses and trucks and inventory and sales reps and unions and all of that. I think that would be really – I don't think that would work. And, you know, the way that my model is that I can work with thousands and thousands of producers.
Sure.
So if someone happens to hit it big and have a great, you know, and do really well and want to move on to a traditional wholesaler so they can expand their reach, more power to them. I think that, you know, you should be friendly to the makers because they're the ones who are spending the time building up their brand.
Sure. Now, you're taking 15% for your services.
An average of 15%, yeah.
Right.
In some situations, it's a little bit more, but
okay.
Depending on taxes. But
yeah. And in a traditional wholesaler operation, they do have these salespeople, and you suggested earlier that they would be that your makers would be looking perhaps to brokers to do that
mm-hmm.
sales function.
Yeah.
So how much would a broker take? And what I'm trying to figure out is if the traditional wholesaler takes 30% for everything
mm-hmm.
he does, will it work out effectively the same way with
it
you?
It does. When you get to a certain price point, now this isn't necessarily, depending on your delivery method, if you're doing like a third party, if you are storing your wines at a third party warehouse, where they do the delivery, and if you know, especially when it goes to like two or three cases at a time, it comes down to, you know, you're talking like $5, $6, $8 a case, so that's
right.
not a big deal. But when you're doing FedEx or UPS, you're more in the $25 to even $40 range. So it gets to a certain price point where it makes sense. Clearly, you know, the under, you know, $50 FOB price points, it's not going to really make sense. But that's not really what this is for. This is more for, you know, somewhat higher end. And, you know, things that are probably above $100 a case. So I think that typical broker is anywhere between 5 and 15%, depending on the negotiations. But if you tell a broker that they don't have to be involved in collections, they will probably drop your rate because that's a big part of what they have to do. If you say, look, you don't have to do collections and you don't have to do reorder reminders, they might say, wow, I can only focus on new business. That's a really cool model. So, that's definitely, I think that's a big opportunity for the makers on our platform.
Good. Now, who's behind you? I presume that you haven't financed this solely out of your own savings.
No, I haven't. We did a friends and family round here. Fortunately, I'm in the middle of Silicon Valley, so we have a lot of really good connections, people that are really interested in investing in two-sided marketplaces. So we're funded by, you know, a number of individuals we were really looking for smart money, people that were connected
mm-hmm.
Both to the restaurant and, you know, retail and maker community. So it's been a really great – we've done real well with our investment community.
So I gather you haven't had to reach out to the venture capital group.
No, not at this time.
Well, that's good news for you.
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah.
We'll see, but they could be a real big help later. Who knows? But, yeah, we just want to – we're just excited to get live and get people onboarded onto the platform, and then we start transactions the first week of April. So the first 2 weeks we will spend, you know, getting all of our, you know, restaurants, bars, and retailers on the platform and all of our makers on the platform and checking our compliance, making sure that the licenses are okay, and then we'll be ready to go.
Do you have – can you share with us how many makers and how many on-premise operators you already have signed up?
You know, we really haven't talked to – I've talked to probably about 100 people over the last
mm-hmm.
3 months and had commitments of about 100 people saying, yeah, I'll put something on there. And then, you know, pretty much every restaurant, bar, and retailer said, if you have something I want to buy, I will, of course, go on your platform and buy from you. So it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. So right now I'm really focused on getting the makers on there to make sure that we have a nice book. We have a number of different marketing programs. We're working with a lot of the restaurant and retailer associations to let them know about LibDev and let them know about what we're doing. We're going to a lot of events and just getting the word out there.
I could see that. And what sort of reaction are you getting from producers?
Everyone is like, wow, that sounds awesome. And I think that they are, as soon as they start seeing it work, as soon as they can go on the platform and see it working and see how it looks and how easy it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, user experience is really important to us. As soon as they can see that, I think they will be excited. Plus the fact, if you don't have distribution in the states that I'm operating in, there's really no downside. You only pay me if you sell something, and you can come and go at any time.
That does sound like a no-downside deal.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds very good. Now, Cheryl, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where were you born? Where did you go
sure.
to school? What got you into the wine business? I gather
sure.
it's a family thing, so that's not a big issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, walk us through, who is Cheryl Jersey?
Sure. So I'm a Californian, native Californian. I grew up here in the Bay Area in a town called Saratoga, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school in San Diego. So I graduated from the University of San Diego with a business degree. I worked in high-tech PR in San Francisco for the first 3 years of my career. And then my parents' winery, Colichon, started getting bigger, and they made a deal where they were going to build a winery and have, you know, estate fruit and all of that, and they needed some sales and marketing help. They asked me if I would help them hire someone first, and I said, "Well, hey, well, what about me?" And they said, "Oh, we'll interview you too." So they made me interview, which was sort of humiliating but good at the same time. We kind of always had that deal, like, we'll try it for 6 months. If it doesn't work, then you know, we'll part friends. But you've got 6 months to prove yourself. And I ended up working there for up until just recently, so almost 20 years. So it was great. I got the chance to, you know, build the Colichon's brand from, you know, less than 1,000 cases and got it up to, you know, a solid 40,000 cases. And then things just started going awry with wholesalers, and we had, you know, a third-party marketing company that didn't go so well for us. So I just, that was kind of what got the idea for LiveDiv in my head was, you know, this is, I would much rather, you know, have control over my own destiny and be able to sell directly to these restaurants, bars, and retailers and not have to spend all this time managing the wholesaler, because that's really what all the, you know, when you have internal sales reps, it's all about managing the wholesaler. Well, when you're a little guy, nobody even calls you back, so how can you manage them if they won't call you? So it's been, so that's kind of what brought me to here. We've got 8 full-time people here at LiveDiv, so I'm spending my time, you know, building the platform, managing it. My job will be the sales and marketing part of it, because that's what I love to do. I have 2 kids, a 13-year-old boy and a 9-year-old daughter, so that's pretty much my weekends are taken up by baseball and dance competitions, which is where I spent my weekend last week. Just excited to get this off the ground and see where it takes us.
Now, is your family's winery still in business?
Yeah. Colichon's okay. Still in business. My dad has kind of stepped back in and is managing the sales, and we've got a really great team working under him. So it's they're all taken care of, and I'm able to focus on LiveDiv.
That sounds very cool. If somebody wants to check you out, how do they? Where can they find you?
LiveDiv.com.
LiveDiv.com, and that's LiveDiv, right?
Yep, LiveDiv. Yep, Liberation yep. Distribution for short.
What a great name. And you're located where, in San Francisco?
No, we're located in San Jose, California.
In San Jose?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so that was a sleepy town once upon a time. It's no longer sleepy.
Yeah, definitely no longer sleepy. I wish it kind of was, because the traffic is horrendous.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to reach out to you, they can go to LiveDiv.com. You want to mm-hmm. share your email address?
Sure. It's Cheryl.Durzy@LiveDiv.com.
And Durzy is?
D-U-R-Z as in zebra, Y.
Excellent. At LiveDiv.com.
Yep.
Well, Cheryl, we wish you a lot of success here.
Thank you.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you are going to meet a very big need for a lot of small producers, some of whom may grow to become very big producers.
Great. I hope so. That's my plan. That's what I want to do. I want to help all the small businesses in this industry.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I've had serious talks with distributors, and, you know, when they feel like being honest, they say, you know, that you really do have to be at a certain size before mm-hmm. you're right for us, just because, you know, we're so big and we have overhead issues and all this other sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're going to fill a really important gap, and, you know, if your producers grow, you'll grow too, I'm sure. So
I hope so. I think
it should
so, too.
Should be interesting. So, well, good luck, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Wish you the best, and we will try to stay in touch and talk to you from time to time and see how you're actually doing.
That sounds great. Yeah, hopefully have a good report in a couple months.
Excellent. So stand by for 1 second. I'm going to cut off the recording here.
Okay.
This call has been recorded.